And now, here is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Preachers often refer to Isaiah, the 8th century B.C. prophet, as the Messianic prophet, because he wrote extensively and powerfully of the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He has also been called the statesman prophet, because he counseled kings of Judah, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, and probably other leaders in the Jewish nation. In his excellent outline of the book of Isaiah, Dr. George L. Robinson, professor of biblical literature and English Bible at Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Chicago, says the celebrated British orator, Edmund Burke, habitually read from the prophecies of Isaiah before going to Parliament. Page 15. Dr. Robinson quotes Jan Valentin as saying about Isaiah, "Never perhaps has there been another prophet like Isaiah, who stood with his head in the clouds and his feet on solid earth, with his heart in the things of eternity, and with his mouth and hand in the things of time, with his spirit in the eternal counsel of God, and his body in a very definite moment in history." Page 22. Moral and spiritual conditions in Judah caused Isaiah grief and sorrow. He accused the Israelites of not knowing the one who had provided them with the wonderful blessings they enjoyed. He characterized them as a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. He described their sacrifices as vain offerings and said, in effect, that God was sick of their worship and their moral behavior. Isaiah 1, 3 and 4 and 13. God told the Israelites, "And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." The great prophet begged the Israelites to cease doing evil and learn to do well. "Come, let us reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isaiah 1, 14 through 18. Isaiah does not blame the leaders for all the evil in the nation, but he did express deep concern for the corrupt leadership that prevailed among the Israelites in the 8th century B.C. "How the faithful city has become a harlot. It was full of justice. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, and your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves gifts and runs after rewards. They do not judge the fatherless, neither does the cause of a widow come unto them. Therefore says the Lord of hosts, the mighty one in Israel, Ah, I will ease me of my adversaries, and avenge me of my enemies." Isaiah 1, 21 through 24. Did you notice in the reading that Isaiah accused some of the leaders in the nation as being companions of thieves? Our study today will examine the topic, companions of thieves. There were many ways the leaders in Israel could have become thieves. Isaiah gave just one. The princes of Israel loved gifts and ran after rewards. They were guilty of the abominable practice of taking bribes. They were like the sons of the prophet Samuel. "And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after gain, and took bribes, and perverted justice." 1 Samuel 8:3. Samuel's sons provided the very best government money could buy. The Lord was angry with the rulers in Isaiah's day and with the people who followed them. He said he would get relief from his enemies and avenge himself of his adversaries. Isaiah 1, 24. God did not want the leaders of his chosen people to be companions of thieves. He certainly hates such behavior in our nation. The legalization of gambling has been one of the great tragedies of the United States of America. Gambling in every form, casinos, parimutuel betting, lotteries, and all other kinds, is nothing more than legal theft. people who are responsible for legalizing gambling approve of taking money from people who can ill afford to gamble and promising them great riches for their hard-earned money. Gambling is one of the worst kinds of fraud. Besides, those who promote gambling are experts at lying and deceiving. They know all forms of gambling, whether legal or illegal, are rip-offs. They also know, but could care less, that gambling creates an atmosphere of greed, corruption, violence, and death. To deny those facts is to be ignorant or evil, or both. The state of Tennessee, like all states in our nation, has always had people who gambled illegally. I have known people who bet on sporting events, ball games, cockfights, and dogfights, and similar events. Sometimes they were arrested and fined for their activities, but most of the time, the gambling was penny-ante activities, although it was both criminal and immoral. Our parents would not allow the 11 Claiborne children to play marbles for keeps or to gamble on a punch board in our local grocery store. My father explained that playing marbles for keeps was the same principle as betting on horses. We would have been severely disciplined had he caught us gambling on anything. About 20 years ago, Steve Cohen, a Tennessee state senator from Memphis, began to agitate for legalizing lottery in our state. I learned from Senator Cohen and from other political leaders that those who promote evil, whether gambling or intoxicating liquors, never give up. They just keep on devoting themselves to their evil schemes until they win. The ones who oppose legalizing lottery or casino gambling or alcoholic beverages get tired of fighting and allow the forces of evil to poison the atmosphere in our state. What a tragedy that we do not continue to oppose all evil, including lottery and other forms of gambling. I have a question for Senator Cohen. Does he know what gambling does to individuals, to families, and to communities in our nation? If he does not know, he does not have the good sense to be a Tennessee senator. Everyone who has seriously studied gambling knows that it leads to death in a substantial number of cases. Suicide often accompanies legalized gambling. A few years ago, I did a series of lectures in St. Louis. On the morning after my lectures, I bought a copy of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. The newspaper reported that a young mother of two, for months, had been spending the family's house payment on the casino located in the Mississippi River. She and her husband had received a $5,000 rebate from overpayment on their income tax. She had also used that money for gambling. She apparently knew her husband and other family members and friends would learn of her stupid behavior. So she took a gun and killed herself. Will that happen in the state of Tennessee? When it happens, not if it happens, will Senator Cohen and other pro-gambling legislators feel any guilt over their foolish conduct in legalizing the lottery in Tennessee? Their consciences may be so seared, they will not feel any guilt. But there is no question the Lord will hold them accountable for contributing to the destruction of individuals. Incidentally, Senator Cohen says there are people in Tennessee who want to make some changes in the current lottery arrangements in our state. He wants those who oppose the lottery to know that the battle is over. I have news for Senator Cohen and all other lottery supporters. The battle is not over till it's over, and it will not be over until all Tennesseans concerned about families and about the moral and spiritual atmosphere of our nation are in their graves. I have preached against every form of gambling for 60 years. I have no intention of quitting just because Senator Cohen says the battle is over. I intend to speak out against gambling as long as the Lord allows me to live. In addition, I plan to encourage every preacher in Tennessee to do the same. I know, and every preacher should know, that we can sin by failure to condemn all evil, and all gambling is evil. The family is the cornerstone of our society. Whatever adversely affects the family also adversely affects the nation. Do you believe the death of the young mother in St. Louis was a tragedy for her husband, for her children, and for other family members. Surely you are not so hard-hearted that you have the slightest doubt about the hurt that family suffered. How tragic that those two children will grow into adulthood without the love and support of a mother. How did the governor, the state senators, the representatives, and the voters who supported the legalization of casino gambling react to the death of that young mother? Does it make any difference so long as the gamblers are having a good time and the state treasury benefits from gambling? So what real difference does it make that one mother or a dozen mothers died if the state is getting money from such sleazy activities? After all, mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, are not irreplaceable, are they? Thousands of children and young people will be hungry, poorly clothed, and neglected in other ways because Senator Cohen and his companions in theft have legalized the lottery in our state. But just think of all the money the lottery will generate to send our boys and girls to college. I am sure some of our young people will be able to attend college that otherwise might not have had the opportunity. But do reasonable people ever advocate doing evil that good may come? Romans 3:8. And only those whose consciences are not attuned to the Word of God can call gambling good. It has destroyed and is destroying thousands and thousands of people and homes. And how much will parents love Senator Cohen and his associates in evil when those parents' children become addicted to gambling? Will that occur in Tennessee? It has occurred everywhere gambling has been legalized. Why would anyone think it will be different here? The state of Tennessee has employed Rebecca Paul to administer the lottery in our state. If she meets or exceeds certain quotas, she can receive $750,000 for her annual salary. $750,000. Much, much more than the President of the United States makes. And she makes that obscene sum by promoting gross evil. In order to receive that enormous salary, she and her confederates will lie and deceive the people in Tennessee. They will seduce our people, especially our young people, into believing that someday they will be able to retire in Florida on their lottery winnings. How absolutely unconscionable that our legislators, Rebecca Paul and others connected with the lottery, will take advantage of our citizens. They will use any tactic to increase the number of people who spend their money on the lottery. Virtually everyone who knows anything about gambling understands that its chief appeal is greed. Have you ever examined what the Scriptures teach about greed? The Old Testament tells us, "My son, walk not in the way with them," that is, the wicked. "Refrain your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of the bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy of gain, which take away the life of the owners thereof." Proverbs 1:15-19. Do these verses sound to you as if they were written about gambling? "He who is greedy of gain troubles his own house, but he who hates gifts or bribes shall live." Proverbs 15:27. "The desire of the slothful kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all the day long, but the righteous gives and spares not." Proverbs 21:25-26. The King James Version of the New Testament does not use the word greed. Most modern versions use the word greed, where the King James Version translates the noun by the word covetous or covetousness. Please listen to a few verses from the inspired Word of God. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as becomes saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Ephesians 5:3-5. "Mortify or kill, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Colossians 3:5. The author of Hebrews pleads with his readers, "Let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Hebrews 13:5. I hope you notice that in both Ephesians and in Colossians, Paul equated covetousness or greed with idolatry. Does that mean that Senator Cohen and Rebecca Paul are promoting idolatry? Yes. 1,000 times yes. They are encouraging people, both young and old, to desire money they have not earned, to think they can get something for nothing. And what could be more utterly irresponsible than to urge people to believe they can get rich just by betting their money? Money, incidentally, in thousands of cases, that will be stolen from other businesses. If that is not thoroughly evil, I do not know what it would be. And the battle, Senator Cohen, is not over. A great portion of my life has been spent in working with young people. I taught high school for 10 years and college for 15 years. I encourage the young people in my classes to prepare themselves for their jobs or professions. I discourage them from becoming involved in any activity that would hinder their being good husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, and good citizens. I discussed with them the need to take care of their money, not to get too heavily in debt, not to gamble, and not to spend their income on wine, women, and song. I know, and so do you, that those who followed that advice are more prosperous financially and spiritually than they would have been otherwise. I know their lives are more enjoyable to themselves and more useful to the church and to their communities. Such people do not become leeches on the public treasury. How sad when a state or community has to provide for children whose parents have squandered their money on gambling and on liquor. I'm distressed that every community in our state has business people who could care less about families. They sell lottery tickets knowing that most of the people who buy the tickets can ill afford to lose their money. But so long as the businesses make money for their owners, why be concerned about children and families? And do not give the stupid answer that we're supporting gambling to provide scholarships for our children. You are doing it because you are greedy. You may believe it will help some young people, and it probably will, but you know it will permanently damage many others. How can thinking people support that kind of arrangement? Will our next project be legalizing prostitution? The sad truth is that prostitution probably does not do the damage gambling does. Gambling is financially, morally, and spiritually stupid. I want it clearly understood that my opposition to gambling is not a personal fight between Senator Cohen and me or between Rebecca Paul and me. If one of my own brothers in the flesh were to work for the legalization of theft, which is exactly what gambling is, theft, I would just as strongly oppose it. I know my brothers have high moral standards and would not gamble or support the legalization of gambling. And I know that they and I have the duty to speak out against any activity that destroys the lives of countless thousands of people, disrupts families, and corrupts communities. Several years ago, a friend of mine asked an older preacher of the gospel, "If you had your preaching life to live over, what would you change?" The older preacher responded, "I would be harder on sin." I have now been preaching more than 60 years. I know that my preaching career cannot last much longer. I do not want to stand in the judgment and have my Lord say to me, "You knew what gambling did to individual lives and to families, but you did not have the courage to condemn it." I want to use my time and energy to oppose all evil, and there are few greater evils than gambling. How can the leaders in a state be so hard-hearted as to legalize such a great evil? And Senator Cohen and Rebecca Paul, I am going to speak out against it at every opportunity. The battle is not over, Senator Cohen. It has just begun. I urge every moral person in the United States, in Canada, and in Mexico to fight Satan's attempt to corrupt our nation through gambling. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.